every Sunday. Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSV.
Good morning, Atlanta, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, the website thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Don't forget to check out the Equifax Finance blog. We have added a new family money section, which is awesome. It's got some great information about how you and your family should handle money issues in 2012. And Money Watch, where we have been following what I want to talk about this morning, the historic $25 billion housing settlement that finally came together late this week. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed. It sounds like a really big number, $25 billion. God knows how much the attorneys are going to get. But the deal is supposed to help, 1.75 million victims of the housing crisis. It does represent the largest joint state-federal settlement in history. It is aimed at correcting the abuses in the lending industry that have hurt current and former homeowners. But it's complicated. Right? And eligibility is going to be determined on a case-by-case basis. So 1.75 million people, all of their stories being discovered on a case-by-case basis, I think it could be years before this plays out. So let's talk a little bit about who this covers, because it's just, and it's completely separate from the thing we've been talking about, which is independentforeclosurereview.com, right? Who is covered by the $25 billion housing settlement? It covers borrowers who have loans that are serviced by one of the five big banks: Ally Financial, which used to be GMAC Corp., Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. These banks handle payments on 55% of U.S. mortgages. That's the starting circle. What if you don't have a loan with one of those banks? Sorry, you're out of luck. This is not the settlement for you. There are other settlements that they hope to strike with nine other banks. I don't know. How long is it going to take you to get some help? Okay, well, over the next 30 to 60 days, settlement negotiators will pick an administrator. They don't even have somebody to handle this yet. So they're going to pick somebody who's going to handle the logistics. Then over the next 6 to 9 months, the administrator, attorneys general, and mortgage servicers will work to identify which borrowers get help. So nothing before probably 9 months, but 6 to 9 months after the 60 days. All right, you with me now? We're almost at a year. Servicers expect to begin reaching out to borrowers in the coming weeks, but they have, get this, 3 years to provide the required help. Now, if you are in deep doo-doo with your mortgage, 3 years isn't going to help you much. Okay, so who qualifies for this incredible help that you're supposed to be getting in the next 3 years? You're going to get letters from the mortgage company. Each of the five servicers also has a website and toll-free number that you can call to get information. Officials are encouraging borrowers to contact their mortgage lenders to see if they qualify for aid. They won't know yet. If you call today or tomorrow to the 1-800 number that's listed on your mortgage papers, they're going to have no idea even what you're probably talking about. I'm sure this stuff has not filtered down yet to the customer service people. We'll try to check it out for next week and see, but I don't think so. There is a site that you can go to, nationalmortgagesettlement.com. So, you know, we talked about last week how independentforeclosurereview.com looks like an absolute scam site, right? Because it just does. It's all white. It's gross. Now, nationalmortgagesettlement.com is a little bit better, and it's got a nice green background. It lists the five lenders. It lists the settlement parties. It lists the toll-free numbers for Ally, Bank of America, Citi, JP Morgan, Chase, Wells Fargo. So you can go there and you could read about the settlement. It lists the states, the help for borrowers, news, FAQs, about, and home. And it's called nationalmortgagesettlement.com. Now, what are the rules for principal reduction program? Part of this, okay, there's three different groups of people who are going to get helped. The first people who are going to get some help are former borrowers who lost their home to foreclosure. They're going to get $1,500 to $2,000 each. If you lost your home to foreclosure and you were serviced by one of the five participating banks between January 1st of 2008 and December 31st of 2011, even if your loan was held by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that's key for some of this, you could be eligible. Who is not eligible? You're not eligible if you lost your ownership by participating in a short sale or deed in lieu agreement. So it's only for people who went into straight foreclosure. The second group of people are delinquent borrowers who are underwater. So there's $10 billion of principal reductions that are going to be made on first and second mortgages that will, in effect, modify your mortgages. First mortgages will be written down to give homeowners some relief, but they may still be underwater. You may also get a second lien principal write-down. You will be eligible if you are either at least 30 days behind on your mortgage or can prove you are at imminent risk of default. You must have less than $417,000 of loan in an owner-occupied home. And if your mortgage is not substantially underwater, 20% or less, you probably won't be considered for the principal reduction. If you will not be eligible if your mortgage is owned by Fannie or Freddie or a non-participating lender. And if it's been sold and syndicated off, private investors will still be able to weigh on this. So I'm not sure what that's going to do. Now, what if you're current and you're underwater and you can't refinance and you're with one of these lenders? Well, there's $3 billion in this pot that will help to refinance your loan, but not to today's 3.85% rate. The lowest you'll be able to go is 5.25%. You will not be eligible if you've been delinquent in the last 12 months, you've had a bankruptcy or foreclosure in the last 24 months, or you've had your loan modified in the past 24 months, or your loan is held by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. If you are earmarked as potentially eligible, you should get letters from your servicers. And again, you can go to nationalmortgagesettlement.com. And you can find out more. Now, the worst thing is going to be because most people have their loans owned or managed somehow by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and none of you guys are going to be eligible through this $25 billion settlement. So I go back to the question I've been asking since 2007 or 2008 on this show, right? We're now four years from the big crash. And I've been asking this question, which is, who are we really able to help? The numbers of people that the government has been able to help is tiny, really tiny. And while $25 billion and seems like a huge number, and it is, I'm not saying it's not, it's not maybe reaching the right people. And I am so optimistic every time one of these settlement things is announced because I feel like, well, it's better than nothing. But I'm waiting to see some people help. So the problem I have with this settlement is that the banks have up to 3 years to get this done. And what the housing market needs now is for all of this to be done in the next 2 months. Right? You need to suck up all these homes that are in foreclosure. And you need to get people to get off the foreclosure watch list. Right? People who are on the verge of foreclosure or who are just scraping by or using up every available means that they have to make those mortgage payments, you need to get them off of those rolls. And when you look at where in the country the troubled loans are, right? You've got California, which is a big, huge chunk, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Michigan, and particularly the upper part of the peninsula, Indiana, Ohio, the whole Northeast, and really the East Coast. There's a big glob in Texas. These are number of borrowers who are 90 days past due or in foreclosure on their mortgages, and the number is huge. So California, it's 500,000. Florida, it's 610,000. Illinois is over, I don't know, something like 300,000. Georgia is over 100,000. So there's just a huge number of people who need this help. And I am so worried that the government and private industry are just still not aligned in the same direction to provide the kind of help this country needs. And as every major economist has said, what's holding back our recovery in this country is the housing industry. We've never had a recovery from a recession without a booming housing industry. And you know what? We're still in a housing market depression. We do not have a booming housing industry by any stretch of the imagination. So is this going to help? I hope so. I really hope so. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. 1-800-WSB-TALK. That website, again, I'm going to keep saying it during the show, nationalmortgagesettlement.com. All right, let's go to the phones. Luke joins us on the line. Hi, Luke. Welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Hey, Elise, I got a comment, and then I've got a question. And it's kind of, the question is going to be kind of out there, but the comment, I was listening to one of your counterparts at WSB. You know, we get educated by listening to you guys. And they made, he made the comment or the observation that California is going to get about 70% of that settlement. So it's even worse for, you know, the average consumer who has a mortgage problem, because Californians are going to get about 70% of that $25 billion. What do you think about that?
I don't know if that's true, actually. I'd have to go and take a little bit of a look, but I do know they're going to get a big chunk. And one of the reasons is that California has something like nearly 500,000 loans that are 90-day past due or in foreclosure. And simply because California is the biggest number of people in its state, right? It's the hugest state. It's got the biggest economy. The economy is in trouble there and has been in trouble. They have the biggest. Illinois is number two on the worst state budget list, but California is double the problems that we have. So if California, I can't imagine they're getting 70%, but let's just say they're getting 50%. A lot of this is done by price. So California property is much more expensive, and there are a ton of them. Florida property is cheap. There's a ton of them, but there's the property is maybe half price what it is in California, or even less than that. So there definitely will be a bigger chunk going to the states where you have a huge number of people that are in foreclosure or 90 days past due, but who also have more expensive property. Illinois, for example, has a huge number as well, maybe 300,000. Property prices are much higher than Florida and Georgia as well. So I don't know if you can say what's fair or not fair, and I don't know if that 70% number is right. If you heard it on SB, it might be right, might not be. But I do understand. Like, for example, Montana's getting almost nothing. You know why? Because they have almost nobody who's 90 days late or in foreclosure. And North Dakota has none.
Right. Okay, so I understand that, and it may be fair, it may not be fair. It's for people to judge. The question I do have is, I'm concerned about the federal government's debt and my personal finances. What would happen to us regular, normal people who have 401ks, you know, and we have a little money saved? What would happen to, you know, our 401ks and such if our government defaulted in the next 10 years? And that's my question. I'll get off and listen.
Well, you can get off if you like. I mean, I don't, you know, if our government falls, Luke, the truth is, I think that the whole world is going to fall. So I'm not one of those people who believes that the United States government is going to default on its debt. We have seen none of the major countries in the world, you know, the ones that are, I would call, first world countries, defaulting on their debt. Greece is in serious trouble, but it's a fraction of $1 trillion. Maybe it's $1 trillion in total, that if you add all the stuff that goes back and forth with them. I don't think anything's going to happen to your 401ks. I think that what might happen is dramatic inflation. And I had this conversation yesterday at the dinner table with some friends of ours. There's a store that opened up that sells gold coins near where we live. And one of the guys is a gas and oil trader, and he went in there. And we were talking about the idea of just spending like $15,000 for a hunk of gold. And if something really happened and the world collapsed, you'd have this hunk of gold. And I'm like, okay, now you have to cut it up. You've got to have some way to measure it. You're going to trade gold coins for what? Like a barrel of, like, loaf of bread or something? I just don't see that happening. I just think we would be, if that happens, if that scenario happens, I think worrying about your 401k is going to be the least of your problems. 21 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. 404-872-0750. We'll take more of your calls and comments about the National Mortgage Settlement Pact, $25 billion, and your questions about your own loan and how you might fit in next on News Talk WSB.
Depend on weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. Thanks for joining us today. We are celebrating the life of Whitney Houston. She died, if you hadn't heard, yesterday at age 48. Just tragic. 404-872-0750. John joins us on the line from Jonesboro. Hi, John.
Hi. Liz, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, yes, ma'am. I lost a job in 2009 that led to a foreclosure, and the house was listed on the courthouse steps, and they pulled it off. And in that, we moved out of the place in 2009. The original loan was held by a bank in California that was later sold to Bank America.
Okay, so Countrywide, got it.
We've been through all the modification short sale stuff in 2009 and 10, and we just told them in 10 just to go ahead and do the foreclosure and get it over. But since then, I've talked to a different person about every week, told the same thing, and there we keep going. And now the foreclosure has been on my credit report since 2009.
Have you, you no longer live in this house?
No, I no longer live there.
And you can prove that you're paying rent somewhere else?
Yes.
Okay. I just heard last week from somebody who was rebuilding, went to go buy a house, was in a similar situation, was told that their house was going to be foreclosed on. It never was. But they had proved that they were living elsewhere for 4 years and paying rent, and they were able to get a new home loan. There are a lot of loose ends that just aren't being caught up on. And if you want to push this a little bit, you can file a complaint with help, helpwithmybank.gov, helpwithmybank.gov. And what that will do is it's the OCC, which regulates Bank of America, and you can file a complaint that they have not moved forward and foreclosed, and that will probably get the ball rolling a little bit if that's the direction you want to go on. But if in terms of rebuilding your credit, you can prove it was listed on the foreclosure list, you can prove that you've been living elsewhere and not taking advantage of the bank, that will go far for banks that are trying to help. You might also be interested in an alternative credit program like eCredable, eCredable. They work with a company called Churchill Mortgage that Dave Ramsey likes very, very much, and they accept alternative credit. It's a company that I support. I've had their CEO on the air a couple of different times, Stevie Lee. Worth looking into as well. 28 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Well, let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
37 minutes past the hour, one of my all-time favorite Whitney Houston songs. 404-872-0750 on the Elise Glink Show, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, thinkglink.com. This hour we've been talking about the $25 billion foreclosure settlement. NationalMortgageSettlement.com is the official website to go to for information about the program and to find out whether you qualify. Let's go on with our calls. Robert joins us on the line from Cartersville. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, thank you. You?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, how can I help?
My question is, I have a mortgage, like everyone else. The thing is I'm paying my mortgage on time, never missed a payment, still at the same job I had, when I graduated from high school. My wife still has her same job. I have a 780 credit score, but when you call the mortgage company to try to bring your interest rate down from right now, I'm at 7.75%, I can't qualify.
Why not?
The bank says it can't qualify. Have to go by what they say.
Well, let's try and be more specific. Do you not qualify because of what? Because you're underwater with your loan?
Because I'm underwater with my loan. My house is worth less than what I purchased it for.
Okay. And how much is your house worth and what's your mortgage worth?
My house was worth $360,000. It's worth around $212,000 now.
Okay.
And my mortgage is $260,000.
Okay, so you might be eligible, actually, for the, is it a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan?
No.
Okay, and is it Wells Fargo? Okay, so yeah. Under the new $25 billion settlement, because you're on time and you're underwater with your mortgage and you're more than 20% underwater, you may qualify to lower your interest rate from 7.75% to 5.25%, which would be great. That's 2.5 percentage points.
Right.
So you may actually qualify under the $25 billion settlement.
But I mean, why can't Americans finance these things? I mean, if you still have a good credit rating, you still have
Okay, so the way mortgages work, Robert, is that the house is supposed to secure the loan.
Right.
You bought a house for $360,000, and it was worth at the time more than what the loan was. So the house,
right.
The lender could figure that if something happened and you stopped paying and they sold, you got the house back and they sold it, they'd reasonably expect to cover their losses.
Okay.
Now they can't. Right?
Well,
they can't because
right.
Your house is worth $212,000 and your mortgage is $260,000. And so if they refinance you, right? If they refinance
right.
you, your house is not worth enough to cover the mortgage balance. So you're underwater.
Right.
So in any scenario, whether we were in a great recession or not, you would not be able to refinance your house. But through the Home Affordable Refinance Program or through this new $25 billion settlement, you'd probably be able to refinance your loan from 7.75, 7.75 down to 5.25.
What is PMI supposed to be for?
Well, private mortgage insurance insures the top 20% of the loan.
Right.
Not the rest of it. That's all that they do. And you've fallen below that.
Right.
So it only is for the lender. It's not, and it really all it does is it allows you to buy the loan to buy the house to begin with if you didn't have 20% down on this loan. However, because you're below that, you're even below that level, it doesn't work. And you can't just buy a new PMI product now for this loan, right? Because
right.
they don't cover this kind of scenario.
Well, the foreclosures that are there now, didn't PMI not work for them at all?
Well, the houses were worth 30%, 20 or 30% of what they were originally worth. So again, PMI only covers the top 20%. And
right.
and the PMI companies, a bunch of them went out of business. They had multi-billion dollar losses. They just never expected to have all those losses in any scenario that their people ever played out for them. And so they just completely capitulated. I don't know, maybe one or two of them is still around. Everybody else went out of business.
And so all the money that folks have paid into it is basically gone.
Gone.
When they go out of business.
Yeah, then they went out of business. So I don't know what happened to the rest of those policies. They may have been picked up by somebody else. Maybe the government is backing them. But it doesn't really matter because that doesn't really protect you. It doesn't help you in this situation.
Right. Right.
So you're really underwater about 22%.
So basically all I can do is wait and see if my mortgage company will send me one of these letters and hope that I get a chance to do that.
Yeah, you can also call your lender. You said you called your lender, but did you call your lender and ask that if you qualify specifically for the Home Affordable Refinance Program?
Because ma'am. I called probably about 4 months ago.
Okay, well, you should call back because the HARP 2.0, which went into effect only at the very end of the year, and for people who are severely underwater like you, more than 20%, it only went into effect this quarter.
Right.
So you want to call back, or you can go to makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Right.
And on that website, what you're looking for is you're looking for the HARP 2.0. So in the first section, it says explore programs, and
right.
it says if your home's value has fallen, and it says home affordable refinance program, and it's right at the top. So you want to click.
What are they considered delinquent?
Well, delinquent is when you don't pay your loan. You said you're
right,
on time with your payments.
Right.
Delinquent is when you don't pay your loan for more than 30 days. You get 30 days. If you're more than 30 days late, you're considered 30 days delinquent.
Okay.
Are you late paying on the loan?
Oh, no, ma'am. No,
okay,
ma'am.
Okay, great.
I actually pay early every month, but, you know, it just seems like, when you try to do what's right, you really don't get to advance.
Well,
you know,
I don't know if that...
unless you have something like this, you know, some type of program that, you know, they just, you know, throw out there for you. You know, I mean, it seems like if you're doing what's right, you should be able to continue on and do what's right. You know, but you have to wait for a product like this to come out in order to, you know, help yourself, you know, help yourself do what's right.
I feel your frustration. I feel your frustration. We did not need to be in this kind of a situation where all of your neighbors or many of your neighbors have gone into foreclosure, driving down your property prices. And it's worse in Atlanta than it is almost anywhere else. I mean,
right.
It's really, really, really horrible in Atlanta. Every week I say that. I don't know if you listened to the show before, but every week we talk about how bad it is in Atlanta. And it's much worse here than it is in almost anywhere else in the country. And it
right.
didn't have to be this way. But at least there are some programs that are trying to help people like you who have made your payments. And
right.
they're trying to give you a little bit of a break. Now, it doesn't sound like you need a break because you're on time with your payments. You just want to pay less like everybody else. And you'll
right.
get to pay somewhat less. You might get to save 2.5%. But you're not going to get to go all the way down to 3% because your
right.
house is no longer worth what it was.
Right.
And that just stinks.
If you save enough money to go to Six Flags at least once a year, you're good.
Well, a lot of people would love to be in that situation, Robert.
Exactly. All righty. Well, you have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same. 45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Joe joins us on the line from Decatur. Hi, Joe.
Elise, if you don't mind, I want to keep my greeting to a minimum, and I want to get right into my message. I have two questions, and I really want to get them in. The first question is, I want you to give me the best example that you can think of somebody who ought to be qualified for the $1,500 or $2,000, and I want you to identify the abuse that the lending institution is guilty of.
I don't know that I can answer that question. What's your second question?
My second question is, they say, minimize your debt. They tell everybody in the country to minimize your debt. What do my debt have to do with the $15 trillion the government owns? What is the relationship between my debt and the government debt? I know they're going up on everything. Everything I used to cost me a dime. It cost me 30 cents and 25 cents now. But what is the relationship between personal debt and citizen debt and the government debt?
All right. Let me start. Let me see how much time I have for you, Joe. First of all, your debt doesn't directly have to do with the government debt. However, a lot of studies have shown that people who have very high debt relative to their income, should something happen, and many of these people are living paycheck to paycheck, should something happen, then they fall off the rails and they go into the land of unemployment insurance, or they go into the land of homelessness, and they need assistance, and all of that stuff is paid for by the government. If you don't make enough money to even qualify for a modicum of health insurance, right, and you have children, those children go on the government rolls for health insurance. There's all kinds of examples in the last 4 years particularly of the government expanding its coffers to offer more assistance to people who need it. So minimizing your debt helps build your credit history. It helps make your credit score go up. It also lessens the likelihood that you're going to get into some financial situation where you're going to need some government help. So at a very tangential level, that would be the connection that I don't know where you got that from. Now, in terms of the national foreclosure settlement, what I said was that former borrowers who lost their home to foreclosure, right, between January 1st of 2008 and December 31st of 2011, whose loans could have been held by Fannie and Freddie, but who were serviced by Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, Citi, and Ally, which is the former GMAC, would get $1,500 to $2,000 each. Now, if you're part of independent foreclosure review, which is different, you might also get $2,000, and maybe this is what you're referring to. This is for anybody whose primary residence was part of a foreclosure action between January 1st of 2009 and December 31st of 2010. There are like 20 or 25 servicers who qualify for this one. And you can find out. You either should have gotten a letter about this, or you can call. If you fall into that category, you can actually call a number, which I'm going to give you in just a moment, to request a form, which will then be evaluated. The number is 888-952-9105. 888-952-9105, Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., or Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So they're closed today. On Sunday, they're open Monday to Saturday, 888-952-9105. 404-872-0750 on the Elise Glink Show. We're going to continue our questions when we come back. Don't forget to check out today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They have always some great, great information. Today, they have a special report. I was listening to Scott Slade talk about it earlier today, and then I went to the website and I actually looked it up so that I could see it as well. They have a special look at Super Tuesday in today's paper that is looking at the key priorities voiced by Georgia voters as the presidential primary race moves on to Georgia, something I know you're going to want to pay attention to. It's 10 before the hour on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
5 minutes past the hour. I'm the Elise Glink Show. Thanks for joining us today. Our number 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Deanna joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is that I also have a loan from Wells Fargo that I've been trying to get a new one for, but my house is $30,000 under.
Mm-hmm.
But they say My Wells Fargo told me that they sold my loan to Fannie Mae, even though I'm still paying Wells Fargo.
Right, that's typical.
So does that mean I'm not qualified for the other thing that you were talking about?
Well, you probably would qualify for the Home Affordable Refinance Program. So to be eligible for that, that's
well,
the hard...
I didn't buy my home until 2010.
Then you would not be eligible for that because the loan had to be sold to Fannie or Freddie before May 31st of 2009.
Uh-huh.
So you wouldn't qualify for that. However, you might qualify under the $25 billion national mortgage settlement. So because that goes a little bit longer. Is your house dropped that much in value since 2010?
Well, we had it appraised, and that's what he said. He said, it's $25,000. We bought it for $425,000, and they said it's $400,000, but that was almost a year ago since we had it appraised, so maybe gone up since then.
Or it may have gone down further.
It may have gone down, but I don't think it's gone down. We're in such a good area.
Well, I don't know about that. Every area that I've seen just about in Atlanta has gone down. What are you trying to do with the mortgage? What's your mortgage interest rate?
Well, the mortgage rate is 5.25%, so we're trying to get it down a little bit more.
Okay. You may not be able to. I'm just saying that. I mean, you may not be able to qualify. What did you say the mortgage is? It's 4.25%?
5.25%.
Yeah. So the problem that you have is that your mortgage is a jumbo loan.
Uh-huh.
And you're underwater. So... I'm sorry. Let me just ask that again. Your mortgage interest rate is 5.25%. What's the total amount of the loan?
Well, we now owe $330,000.
Oh, okay. So you're not a jumbo loan. Okay, I misheard you. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so it's $330,000, and the house is worth how much?
Well, no, we bought the house at $425,000, but we now owe $330,000 left on the mortgage. And the appraiser said that it was now worth $400,000.
Okay, so you have equity in the property.
Well, not really that much equity. They don't consider, well, I guess...
You have almost 20% equity. If the appraiser said the property's worth $400,000 and you owe $330,000, that's a difference of $70,000.
Okay.
20% would be $80,000. So if you have $10,000 and put it down, you know, to come to the cash, it's called a cash-in refinance, you'd be able to refinance. You probably could bring down your interest rate from 5.25%, I don't know, maybe down to 3.5%? You could probably get a 15-year if you wanted to.
I only want a 30-year.
Well, you can get a 30-year, but the 30-year rate is about 3.85%. So I think what you need to do is start shopping around for lenders. And you have to start with the idea that you think the house is worth $400,000, you owe $330,000, and you're happy to bring $10,000 to the table, so you have 20% down. That's going to interest a lot of mortgage lenders. And as long as your credit score is good, that's going to work out for you. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll take more of your calls next. News Talk WSB.
Money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glick on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Blank. Thanks for joining us today. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Have you been to thinklink.com? My website, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I just realized I haven't even been tweeting today during the show, but I will start doing that for this hour. I am at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. If you're not following me, you might want to. We do a lot of really cool stuff on Twitter, Facebook, fan page. Be sure to join there as well. Money Watch and the Equifax Finance Blog with more cool stuff to come the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be talking about our new Medicare website. All kinds of news and information about Medicare that you'll want to find out about. 404-872-0750. I want to talk for a minute about last week's unemployment report. So we saw that there's really a mixed take on what's been going on, right? So we saw last month that the unemployment rate dropped down to 8.3%. Right? And the government's been touting that, what they're doing is right, and things are great. But in January, what also happens is that the Bureau of Labor Statistics updates its population estimate. And this update was very large because the census was out, right? We just did a census, and the new census numbers were in, so those fed in. And the policy is not to revise the earlier unemployment survey numbers, so there are sometimes big apparent changes that are not actually there, and that's what happened in January, right? So the government says that the estimate changes reduced labor force participation by 0.3 percentage points, and the change had no effect on the unemployment rate, right? So those people who are not in the labor force, these are people who aren't working and say they're not looking for jobs. It includes students, retired people, other people who are not interested in working, but also people who just gave up. They throw their hands up in the air and they say, I'm never going to get a job. I quit looking. So if you have a big increase in the not in the labor force numbers, it could be interpreted as a very bad indication of the health of the labor market. So if you download the data, you'll conclude that the figure of people who are not in the labor force rose by 1.1 million people from December to January, which is what a lot of people did. However, according to Floyd Norris, who's a good friend who writes the Economics blog for the New York Times, the changes in the population estimate caused all that gain and more. But the reality is that the number of people not in the labor force actually fell by 75,000. There's a lot of numbers, but the whole point is that the population increase, and everything's just an estimate, right? Because we only go out and we survey like 10% of the American public. We try to get a good mix, but it doesn't always work. But because the population increase in this country was primarily among people 55 years of age and older, and to a lesser degree, people who are 16 to 24 years of age, they have lower levels of labor force participation than the general public. What happened, Floyd argues, is that the government simply underestimated how many people there were in the U.S. and didn't appreciate how large the proportion of people not of working age was. And so it has, in the past, it overestimated the labor force participation rate. So the government now thinks there are 1.6 million more women than it estimated and 116,000 fewer men. It thinks there are 1.1 million fewer white people, 407,000 more blacks, 1.1 million more Asians, and 1.3 million more Hispanics. And they do these labor surveys twice a month. So we're going to have to see what happens, because the guy who writes the Forbes blog took a totally contrarian view. He looked at the numbers, and he said that if you added in all the people who are, and it's like 5 million Americans, he said, have fled the workforce in hopeless despair, and if you add those into the workforce, that the true unemployment rate would be around 11%. Well, we know that anyway, because if you look at the U6, which is those of you who listen to the show every week, know that's my favorite broader look at the unemployment picture. They're actually saying it's more like 15% true unemployment, if you count everybody else in. So, you know, any way you want to spin numbers in this world, you totally can. And I guess that's what Statistics 101 is all about. But when you actually look at what's going on in this country, what you want to hear is that fewer companies are laying off 1,300 and 1,500 people, and more companies are hiring them. And that's really the mark of an economy that's turning around. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Susan joins us on the line from Monroe. Hi, Susan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Real quick, original mortgage was through Taylor Bead and Whitaker. Whatever happened to them, I'm not real sure.
They went under. They went out of business.
Our loan went through a centralized loan through Cinlar.
Uh-huh.
When the transaction happened, our loan number changed. They refunded our money. Cinlar debited my account. So everything went as planned. To this day, they are still showing us as 30 days past due. We have supplied all documentation to prove to them that we are not 30 days past due to date. Who do I complain to? I am at my wit's end.
I'm sure you are. Cinlar may or may not be overseen by the OCC, which looks at all federal mortgage companies. But I would write them a letter anyway. And the place you want to do that is helpwithmybank.gov.
Okay.
I think you can all... Have you tried, by the way, the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance?
No.
Oh, they have a really... The last time I checked, they had a really helpful ombudsman on staff.
Okay.
Can I give you that number?
Yes, please.
770-986-1633.
Okay.
I would start there, actually. I would go there and call them and say, see if you can make an appointment. If not, speak to somebody on the phone. Say that you have tried really hard, but all this stuff with Taylor Bean and Whitaker has gone bananas, and you need them to intervene on your behalf to get this straightened out. They were very upset by what happened with Taylor Bean and Whitaker. So was the Governor's Office of Consumer Affairs. And I think that if you start there tomorrow morning when they open, mm-hmm. that you may be able to get them to help you encourage Cinlar, which has to be licensed by the state of Georgia to do business in the state of Georgia, to fix this for you. And not only do they have to fix this, they have to go back and erase everything off of your credit history.
Perfect.
All right.
You know, we can't even refinance at this point.
Of course not.
I mean, we're upside down, of course, but we can't even refinance due to the fact that we're still showing 30 days past due.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Will you call me back and let me know what happens? Because I can, if the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance is not cooperative, which I'm sure they will be, there are some other avenues that we can help you take.
You bet. I will. I'll call you next Sunday.
All right, Susan. That sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
14 minutes past the hour, our number 404-872-0750. I haven't heard very many Taylor Bean and Whitaker stories lately, but we had a ton of information on thinklink.com. If you're interested, you can go to the website, type in Taylor Bean Whitaker, or TBW even, I think would probably work, and all of the stories should pop up. There were like 30 posts when that was going on. 15 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glenk Show. Jamie joins us on the line from Canton. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I have a first mortgage with a large bank with approximately 10% equity that I got 8 years ago.
Okay.
And I also have a second mortgage on that same house that has a very large balance. Now, I've always paid my bills on time. Is there any program to help someone in my situation?
How far underwater do you think you are?
Very far.
Are you 150% underwater? How far?
My second's almost as big as my first. And my first has 10% equity.
So give me about $180,000.
Okay, so you owe $180,000?
No, ma'am. I owe approximately $285,000 on my first and $220,000 on my second.
Okay, and how much is the property worth?
Approximately $330,000 now.
Wow, that's a huge loss.
Exactly.
So you have kind of an interesting issue here because you're so far underwater. And you've always paid on time, which is great.
Exactly.
The only program you might qualify for is the HARP program. If it's a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan, is it?
I don't believe it is.
They're not Fannie and Freddie? You can find out.
So.
You can find out by going to Making Home Affordable or going to Fannie. They've got the. It's like you have to go to Fannie Mae's website and Freddie Mac and just make sure that they're there. If you can't do that, then you may be able to get some help directly from your bank. Have you tried that?
You know, we've called them in the past approximately 2 years ago, and they told us that if, you know, unless the mortgage is delinquent, there's really nothing they could do for us.
That things have changed a little bit. Their attitudes particularly have changed a little bit. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'd love for you to call the Homeowners Hope Hotline.
Sure.
It's the one that's listed on makinghomeaffordable.gov. It's 888-995-HOPE.
Okay.
At the end of the line, you're going to get a HUD-approved housing counselor
sure.
who can help you understand what your options might be.
Okay.
The makinghomeaffordable.gov website could be helpful.
Right.
It talks about, you know, if, and you might want to just call them tomorrow morning instead, but it'll help you
sure.
walk through what the different opportunities are.
Sure.
And then what the Homeowners Hope Hotline might do is they'll put you in touch with somebody at your lender that actually can decide whether or not you're eligible for some sort of assistance.
Okay.
Now, if you're thinking that you will be eligible for the principal write-down, I'm not sure you will be.
Well, I don't believe I am either because of the equity in the first.
Maybe.
If that's correct, I'm not
maybe,
sure.
Maybe, but you're supposed to be able to get write-downs on the second in some cases as well. Are you planning
okay.
to leave the property at any time?
We're not. I mean, we don't plan on going anywhere. We've just seen so many people that leave their house 2 years later buy the same house.
Yep.
Or a similar house for a lot less money.
Yeah, they are.
It's aggravating when you pay your bills and you get put in that situation.
Listen, the problem is I don't know if your house is ever going to be worth $500,000 again.
Right. And if it is, it'd be several years from now. So
at some point in time, you may have to think about how you're going to pay down the second loan.
Right. And I've been trying to make large payments on it,
mm-hmm.
You know, to get under that way. It's just... The situation's more aggravating than anything.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I have a tremendously soft heart for people who are in your situation because
right.
you bought a house you could afford
exactly.
with the expectation that, you know, you were going to be just fine with it.
Sure.
And you didn't anticipate that the property price could drop by almost half.
Right, exactly.
What? Why did you end up with a second for that so much money?
We finished our basement. We put a pool in the backyard. We were keeping up with the Joneses, and that was probably the mistake that we made. I also took some money out for my business.
Okay.
So.
Well, it sounds like it's not a good situation in terms of leaving, but at least you can afford your payments.
Right. We can afford the payments. We don't plan on going anywhere. Just I didn't know if there was something out there since they're coming out with all these programs that would benefit us. So.
I think it's worth calling the Homeowners for Hope Hotline and just seeing if they can put you in touch with somebody at your bank who actually knows what they're talking about.
Sure.
And see if there is something that you can do. And are your interest rates high on either of those?
The first is 5.25%. The problem with the second is it's a 15-year loan or a 15-year due date with a 30-year amortization schedule.
Ah.
So it's not going anywhere quickly.
Right.
And, you know, I called them probably a year and a half ago to try to refinance that loan. And that didn't go over so well with them.
I'm sure.
The same situation. You know, if you're paying on time, we can't really help you.
Well, why don't you try again, simply because I think that things are changing again, and see if you can start with the Hope for Homeowners hotline, and then see what happens after that. And just keep pushing through. I do believe that there will be some help out there. And if you can't redo the second, maybe what you can do is take the first down to somewhere around 3.75% or 4% and at least get some relief there. 404-872-0750, 21 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we're going to do our prize pack. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Elise Kling Show next on News Talk WSB.
Everyone falls in love sometimes.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Thanks for joining us today. Our number 404-872-0750. We have our WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack to give away. Today's prize value, $155. It includes a pair of tickets to the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Delta Classical Series Concert on February 23rd at Atlanta Symphony Hall. And a $25 gift certificate to the Lakewood 400 Antique Market happening February 17th through the 19th. And a Paul McCartney box set, including his new release, Kisses on the Bottom. God, love Sir Paul. All this prize value of $155 can be yours if you are the fifth caller to our prize pack line. Only call this number, 404-741-0750. And be nice to Fred, because he's the one who's going to take your call. All right, it is 27 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we have some more of your questions that we're going to get to. We're going to talk a little bit more about unemployment, the stock market, what it did this week, of course. Crazy week on, I don't know if you caught this, but we finally had a down day in the stock market. It was really down, and then it was only moderately down about 90 points to close at 12,008. We'll talk what's behind that as well. And then just, again, getting back to the business at hand, $25 billion mortgage, national mortgage settlement, and what you can do to try and qualify. 27 minutes past the hour, I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Haven't been the same.
Six minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining us today. Lines are open, folks. We got a couple of lines open, 404-872-0750. If you've been wanting to ask me a question, but you can never get through, if you call in the next 3 minutes, you'll probably get through because there's just one person waiting at the moment. 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to check out Money Watch and the Equifax Finance Blog. If you go to Equifax.com and click on the Finance Blog, you'll find our new cool family money section. I'm very proud of it. We just have a few blogs up. We have a whole bunch more going up this week. I think it'll be really, really exciting to have this discussion online about how you can treat the money that's in your family more strategically and have it do more for you. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phone. Cece joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, welcome to the program.
I have a house that went into foreclosure last year after us keeping it afloat for 5 years in the state of Michigan because we had moved to Georgia. And I just received the tax document on it. And I know, because I researched the city files, that it was sold for $55,000 back in May of 2011.
May of 2011, it was sold for $55,000, and that's as a foreclosure sale?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. We still owed about $96,000 on it.
Oh.
Yes. And the tax document arrived. My amount still owed was correct, but the fair market value amount was $103,000 and change.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, was that fair market value correctly put in? Because honestly, if I thought I could have sold it for $103,000, I would have. It's not gone into foreclosure.
Right. It may not be correct, but you went into foreclosure 5 years ago?
No, just last year.
Last year.
We flipped for 5 years with renters and such, and it just, because it was worth less than half of what we owed in Michigan, I don't even know how long it's going to take that poor state to come back. We were just throwing good money at bad money.
Yep.
And so we just cut the rope and knew we were going to take the tax hit. It's all on me, so my credit rating was the one to take the hit. So then I got this tax document, and now I'm more confused than I feel like I should be.
I'm not sure why it says $103,000. I'm not sure what they're basing that on. So you probably should call them and ask. I don't know who you're going to talk to. You might try to talk to somebody in the foreclosure action department.
Okay.
You may actually have to hire an attorney to follow up with you for you.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. And I do work with a financial group here that has that. I do have access to that.
Okay.
I just didn't know if there was an easy answer of, well, they just put that down there, but it really means this. And I guess my question is, because I owed less than what the fair market value was, what does that mean for what I pay taxes on?
Well, that's not the... Okay, so the key number, unfortunately, is the difference between what you owed and what they got. So the difference
right.
between 55 and 96, which is $41,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amount, because this is not your primary residence.
No.
When it went into foreclosure, that's the amount that the IRS will impute as income to you.
Okay.
And...
Which is a funny way to put that.
Well, it's basically phantom income, right?
Right, yeah.
So if you don't get any money in your pocket, now you have to pay taxes on it. And worse, it's going to increase whatever your annual income was.
Mm-hmm.
And it may push you into an even higher marginal tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no money. You know
it's
this.
It's terrible. It's bad going incoming.
Oh, it's terrible. So do you actually, this is the year that if you've been doing your taxes all this time, this is the year you probably want to find a really good accountant or enrolled agent.
Yes, I totally agree. Yes. Okay, well, I've made arrangements to have that done because on top of it all, I lost my husband in October unexpectedly.
Oh,
so.
My gosh, I'm so sorry.
Well, I appreciate that. We are experiencing a lot of greats right now, but, you know, it was 2011 was a difficult year, so I feel like I need professional help.
Oh, honey, you sure do.
Yes, ma'am.
And so this kind of thing, did your husband have insurance?
Yes, ma'am. I am the poster child for life insurance.
Because we have an
8-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I'm very thankful that my husband was very smart and committed to thinking towards the future and not knowing what tomorrow holds for any of us.
Right.
And I'm very grateful for that.
So if you needed to, and you do, you'll have the money to pay the taxes on this hit.
Yes. It's just, you know, it just makes you sick in your gut because you're giving money away on something that you've already given money away on.
Right.
It's a bad feeling, but
losing that much money. But remember, money is money, and you know, you've lost so much more this year. So.
Yes, isn't that true?
I'll tell you,
it's all in perspective right now. Let me tell you.
Oh, it does. I'll share something with you. When my father died, I was 18, and my sisters were 15. And it was 30 years ago this year. And the government, a couple of months before he died, the government had made a change in how much Social Security we would get. Because I had turned 18, they had changed it from 21 to 18, so I didn't get any. In addition, it wasn't like spouses could just inherit all this stuff tax-free like they do today. My mother ended up writing a check for something like 30%. Of whatever life insurance proceeds my father had left.
Oh.
Which was not nearly enough because he died when he was 49.
Oh.
So I totally understand where you're coming from, and I am so happy that on top of everything else, you don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from.
That's right. That is a huge blessing. You feel like you can at least, you know, part of your life is not so much to be worried about, and
Yes. Well,
you've got a lot of other stuff. So I just hope that this goes easily for you. And I would, and even though it is a loss, I would just let it go, because as it sounds like you have, or you're moving in that direction,
well,
get the professional help you need and move on.
To have that house off of us, because there wasn't a day that went by that we weren't worried about the house in Michigan. You know, a renter making a phone call, this is broken, the basement flooded again, the AC's out. I mean, it's stressful.
Sure.
And when you're not next door to fix things, you just make phone calls and pay money. And you know, we knew we were paying money into a house we were never going to get our money out of.
Right.
So it is a huge relief to have this off of my radar and know that once that is paid, I don't have to think about it ever again.
Well, I wish you a very easy tax season. And if there's anything else I can do to help, let me know.
I will. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for what you do. I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you, Cece, for saying that. I really appreciate you calling in. 44 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. John joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today, Elise?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Is there something I can help with?
Yes. I've heard bits and pieces of your show today. Unfortunately, I've been in and out, so you may have already answered this question, so I apologize in advance if you've already given an answer. I'm looking at a loan to value of about 140%.
Wow.
Yeah. My equity there is none.
I'm sure. Clearly.
The housing prices have gone down about 50% in my neighborhood. My question is, under the HARP 2.0 program,
mm-hmm.
is that limit 125%, or is there any salvation for me in refinancing?
No, actually, for people who are like you, who are severely underwater, HARP 2.0 came about, you know, the first part of it kind of kicked off in December.
Yes.
For people who are kind of not that far underwater, but if you're severely underwater, it's kicking off this quarter. So your lender, by now, mid-February, maybe has gotten it together or not. But the criteria, you know, it starts out where the mortgage must be owned or guaranteed by Fannie or Freddie. Is yours?
Yes, it is.
Great.
I have confirmed that.
And it has to have been sold to Fannie or Freddie on or before May 31st of 2009.
Yes. I purchased my house in like April of 2007, I think.
Wonderful. And you haven't had a refinance under HARP previously, have you?
No, I have not.
Okay. And the current loan-to-value ratio must be greater than 80%. No problem there. And you must be on time with a good payment history in the last 12 months.
Yes.
So you meet the baseline eligibility criteria,
mm-hmm.
and the next steps that you're going to want to take is to use the website makinghomeaffordable.gov. They have steps to the HARP refinance. You can look up, they have loan lookup tools. Then you want to contact your mortgage servicer or another one that is approved by Fannie or Freddie to inquire about HARP. And when you call, you should ask about the Home Affordable Refinance Program. And they want you to shop around and compare, because you're supposed to be able to refinance with other lenders, not just your own lender.
Great. That was one of my questions.
Yes. And the place to call if you want to have questions or about getting this mortgage help, you can contact one of the HUD-certified housing counselors,
mm-hmm.
at 888-995-HOPE. 888-995-HOPE, and
okay.
It's supposed to be 24/7 for that number. I don't know if it really is, but it says it is.
Okay.
So you can give them a call and figure out if you know, this is going to work for you. Hopefully it is. It sounds like you're in the right frame of mind and you have all the other stuff going
yeah.
for you. What
uh-huh.
is your what interest rate do you currently have on your mortgage? Because this
I'm
might
at,
be
6.5% currently, and my goal here is to refinance from a 30 to either a 15 or a 20.
Okay.
And here's kind of the kicker. It's kind of unusual. My lender is SunTrust.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my lender, you know, do I qualify under the new HARP requirements? And they gave me quotes based on my loan to value being about 125%, which would be about $95,000. And I unfortunately I think my house would appraise for about $85,000. And when I ask for those numbers, all of a sudden I'm looking at needing to pull $10,000 to $15,000 out of my pocket, and I think the interest rate being higher. Were they quoting me the HARP 1.0, not the 2.0?
Hard to know, but it is true that the more severely underwater you are, the higher the interest rate may go.
Okay.
So that could certainly be true. And again, they want you to, you know, the government wants you to shop around because the different lenders have incentives to do these refinances.
Okay.
So they get paid by the government to do them, and so they, you know, it's supposed to encourage competition in the pricing.
Now, one other factor that I heard that's important is the PMI.
Mm-hmm.
I have line item PMI, meaning I make a monthly payment on that PMI. Supposedly, I qualify if it's a monthly, not a flat dollar amount that was paid at the time of closing.
Not sure. I have not heard a differentiating that is a differentiator for people yet.
Okay.
And that could just be lender to lender. I don't know. I can't call all the lenders all the time. So sometimes I don't know all the little time. And they change these programs like week to week. So
okay.
If you're hearing that, all I can tell you is it may be true or maybe bad information coming from the lender.
Okay.
But start with Making Home Affordable and the Homeowners for Hope refinance phone number that I gave you.
Okay.
And I think those are good places to start.
Can I ask you one more question? Do we have time for one more?
Just very quick.
Okay. I finished off my basement. It's a daylight basement. Made it a full living area. Would that apply towards my appraisal?
Yes.
If I didn't pull.
You didn't pull permits for it?
Permits, no. But it was already semi-complete. I just finished off a couple rooms and added a kitchen area.
You might have had to pull permits, but you could deal with that later.
Okay.
You can have the house, when the house gets appraised, they'll include that, and you'll want to make sure that you get some credit for it. I just don't know if it'll even change the numbers. I mean, you may just have thrown money away for that. It's great living space, so you're going to enjoy it. But depending on what everybody else has in your neighborhood, I don't know that that will help you all that much with the appraisal. I hope it does. I'm just not sure it will. 404-872-0750. John, thanks so much for your call today. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
With Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Six minutes past the hour. That's Whitney Houston, who regrettably passed away yesterday. I mean, just an amazing talent and voice, and so many of us who were in our 40s grew up with her. Just amazing. And when somebody who's your age, I'm 47, when somebody your age dies, you have to look in the mirror and go, if it happened to you, would you feel okay about what you've left behind? And she left an amazing legacy. Every single one of her albums, like, sold a million copies. It's just amazing. 404-872-0750, 56 minutes past the hour. Bobby joins us on the line. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 457B and was thinking about opening up a self-directed IRA to purchase real estate through that.
Okay.
And was wondering if you felt that would be a good idea to take the money out of the 457 to transfer it to the MI. And
your 457 is not still active, is it?
Yes, it is.
It is. You're still working for the same organization?
That is correct.
I'm not sure you can do that. You'll have to check with your plan rules. Did they say that you could?
You can take out a loan that you have to repay, so that won't be an issue from that aspect.
But I don't think you can... Okay, let's rewind that. I don't think you can take a loan out and roll the loan into the self-directed IRA.
Okay.
Now, if you want to take a loan and buy property that's not, you don't need a self-directed IRA, right? You're going to take a loan out of this. You're going to buy a piece of property. You're going to own it separately. And you'll, out of those proceeds, supposedly, you're going to pay back your 457 plan.
Okay, well, what if you're thinking about flipping it, and if it was done under the IRA, would you not gain some tax advantages by doing it that way?
Yeah, but you, okay, I don't know about your 457B plan, but typically, and this is true for 401Ks and all the others, you can't just take an active account. It has to be like you've left the organization, and now it's just sort of sitting there, and then you can roll that into a self-directed IRA. You'll have to check and see if maybe your plan has a different rule.
Okay.
I'm not sure you can do that. Now, let's just assume you can do it.
Okay.
Is it a good idea? That's what you're asking me.
Yes.
And I have to say that I think it's fine, provided you understand the limitations and the risks. Number one, you can't buy a house you're going to live in or personally benefit from in any way other than, you know, financial through the IRA. Number two, there are a little bit more expensive IRAs to hold because you have a third-party administrator. And so you really have to understand the risks and what this does for you down the line. So just think it through. I have some articles on thinklink.com that might help. And talk to your tax advisor, because this is a very tax-heavy play, and I want to make sure you're getting great advice that's particular to you. 59 minutes past the hour, folks. Time for me to go. Adam Goldfein is next. I hope you have a wonderful week. Talk to you next Sunday.